In it. What I used to do when we were at the camp, I used our dog as an object lesson and to keep the kids' attention. And so I would take her to the platform with me and I'd tell her to lay down. She'd lay down right here beside me. But during the service, sometime during the service, she would get up and start wandering, just like we do sometimes. And so I'll lay that napkin back on the drink. It's blown off twice tonight, and you can just, that'll sort of keep your attention as to when it's going to blow off again, okay? We're glad each of you are here tonight. There is so much in God's Word about the things that are going on around us today. There are things that I was somewhat unaware of. We hear terms and sometimes we think we understand what they are, but not always. And tonight, I'm going to deal with something you're going to wonder when you hear the title. Dealing with PTSD. Whoa. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Let's start off by looking at a piece of scripture. Let's start off with Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Sorry, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, about this point, you might say, well, I thought post-traumatic stress disorder only affected soldiers coming back from the battlefield. For a while, I thought so too, but I was wrong. And I think that it's time to look at some of the things that are affecting us and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we don't even realize it. So what I want to share with you tonight might surprise you, but I hope that it will explain why some of the things that are happening all around us and happening to some of our loved ones. So before we begin, let's ask the Lord to help us to understand how this is a part of what we're going through. Father, again, we need your wisdom, and you have said, call on you and ask, and you will give it liberally and upbraideth not. So Father, we do ask. Help us to see how PTSD is affecting Christians, family, friends. And Father, may you show us what your answer is to that. Thank you for this time together here tonight. May it be a profitable time for your people. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, medical people have two other names for PTSD. One of them is moral stress, that's a symptom of it, and another one is moral injury. Moral injury. About now you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? How does this gobbledygook affect me, you, those around us? Moral stress is so prevalent in our society today that even elementary children are suffering from it. We wonder why the world seems to be going crazy and we're the only sane ones here. But this is taking place among us. It occurs when we're taught to respond in a particular way to a particular situation, or we are consistently, we believe that certain actions should take place under certain situations. And suddenly society throws us a curve and we find the situations going on in our life and the people around us are not responding the way we expect them to. Let me give you an example. Elementary children. You're raising a child at home and you tell that child you're not supposed to lie. Children have a way of lying. They don't have to be taught to lie. You didn't either, by the way. So they don't have to be taught to lie, but we teach them not to lie. We say, God doesn't like that. That's a sin. And then they go to school and they are taught it's okay to tell a white lie if it's going to be politically correct, if it's not going to hurt somebody's feelings. Now they begin to experience moral stress. Another example, all of your life you know you're not supposed to lie. All of your life you know you're supposed to tell the truth all of the time. You get a job and your boss, the phone rings, you pick it up, you answer it, you look at the boss and the boss says, tell him we're not here. More moral stress. You see, it can even affect the church. If we are conditioned to tell the truth and someone asks us to lie, how do you deal with that? Suddenly our children and grandchildren are suffering from PTSD. Because we are trying to teach them one thing and society and public education system is trying to teach them something else. And they get stressed. You want to know why people leave the church when they have a choice? Young people leave the church when they have a choice? Because they don't want the stress anymore. The church teaches one thing, society teaches something else. What do we do about that? We're not preparing, in many cases, our people, our young people, to cope with life as it really comes across. We try and teach them to observe God's standards, but sometimes we don't teach that strongly enough to where they understand why we are to keep God's standards and the consequences of not doing that. Now, soldiers returning from the battlefield, they experience PTSD. All their life, they're taught that they are to have certain moral reactions. They suddenly find themselves in a situation where they have been taught to respect women and take care of children. And suddenly they're finding on the battlefield, in order to preserve their life, they're having to kill them. That is why our soldiers are coming back with PTSD. Because they are being forced by circumstance to take actions that they have been taught they should not take. And they get back here, and then how do they make the transition? It's difficult to make that transition from what they had to do to preserve their life to the life they are now going to live among women and children. Now, PTSD even affects the church family. Why are so many of us on blood pressure pills? I don't remember my grandfather being on blood pressure pills, and he lived to a ripe old age. Because we have so much stress in our life. Stress that we don't anticipate. We don't realize that we're stressed because of the situations that are going on around us. Even being in church. Now think about this. A couple weeks ago, in Texas, folks like we are sitting here, and suddenly someone burst in, murdered 26 people, and wounded 20 more. You see, there are people who actually worry about coming to church for fear something like that will happen. It happened here, Mother Emmanuel. And I want you to realize some things. We have discussed, the deacons and I have discussed this. We are prepared to protect you. We can't beat God. God can protect you. But we are also prepared to protect you. And in the event that someone were to burst into this church, we would like for you to do this. Lay down in the seat or lay down on the floor. But do not get up and try and run. There are people prepared to protect you. We're having to do things now that we have not done before. We are locking the back door. Why is that? Because there are people out there. And so you see, you don't realize it, but there are different kinds of moral stress in your life, even in places like the church. The real problem seems to be our inability to be consistent in our actions based upon what we have been taught. We don't have the strength to battle life on our own. What's wrong? I'm glad you asked that question, even if you didn't. Because I would like to share some thoughts about that. And let's start with some scripture. Because God gives us an answer in His Word to every problem that we're going to confront in life. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I believe that the beginning of the answer is here in this scripture, where we are told by Paul to be anxious for nothing. People, God can keep you. God will keep you if that is in His plan. I can't protect my wife. Not really, but God can. Every morning when we pray for you folks, we pray for safety, that you will get to the place that you need to get to that morning, that you will get through the day without incident. Because safety is of the Lord. Did He fail that church in Texas? No. He has a plan. He has a purpose. We just have to be willing to accept His purpose and to be anxious for nothing, as Paul told the Philippian believers. The teaching to be anxious for nothing is not new. Even our Lord, during the Sermon on the Mount, spoke to this. In Matthew 6, 5, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" You know, it is really obvious as to what the problem is. People are no longer walking by faith. People have started walking by sight. And that was the problem with Peter. When he got out of the ship on faith and Jesus said, "Come," and he started walking across the water, and then he took his eyes off from Jesus. And he looked around at the wind and the waves that were about to cover him up, and he began to sink. And today, we have to live by faith. We have to walk by faith, or we're going to sink. We're going to sink into this world mess that's around us. Jesus wants us to walk by faith. And we need to walk by faith. No wonder we see so much stress with people having to keep track of where they are. They have one way of acting when they're at work. They have another way of acting when they are at home. They have a third way of acting when they are in church. And maybe when they're off by themselves, they act in even a fourth different way. And all of the time, they've got to keep track of where they are and how they're supposed to act. Rather than just being them and living by faith every day, every moment. Trusting God. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying the Word. Because the moment we stop any part of that, we begin to experience moral stress. Even moral injury. This becomes one of a number of big problems in our lives. We don't know how to forgive ourselves. We have all done things we wish we hadn't done. We have gone to God and we have asked Him, "Father, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me." We've gone to the individual and we ask them, "Please forgive me. I didn't mean to say that against you or offend you in that way." And then, we don't forgive ourselves. We keep remembering, "Oh, I did this to them. I sinned this way before God." And we find it so difficult to believe that God would really forgive us. And yet He has promised to. Do we not believe Him? That's usually the case when we are unwilling to forgive ourselves. There's something missing in the life of a person who cannot forgive themselves. And that one thing is faith. It may not be totally missing, although it might as well be. There is very little evidence of the presence of God's Holy Spirit among society today, even though it might be among Christians. We are to walk after God's Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Philippians, instructed them to rejoice in the Lord, not when we feel like it, but always. Always. No matter what's going on, rejoice in the Lord. It's hard to be depressed or angry or guilt or guilty or discouraged when you're rejoicing. And those are all symptoms of PTSD. Guilt, depression, anger, because we're not in control of the situation. And discouragement. I read Romans 1 through 5, and it tells us that we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. And each of you, if you know Jesus Christ tonight, you have the Holy Ghost living in you. What is the manifestations of his fruit? Love, what? Joy, peace. What? That's right. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so as we walk through life, I'm sort of preaching to the crowd tonight because you folks are the ones who are doing this, living this. But sometimes we need to be reminded. Can a Christian be depressed? You better believe it. Christians do get depressed for the same reason that Peter got almost drowned. He took his eyes off from Jesus and looked at the situation, not considering God's part in it. And you and I, when we get involved in the storms of life, and we are involved in those all the time, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, understanding that it's okay. He's going to bring us through that. So we get distracted. We start looking at the situation and not thinking about God and Jesus Christ and counting on the Holy Spirit to lead us. And so we begin to sink into depression. Which means not that they've lost their faith, but they've taken their eyes off from Christ. And they've misplaced their faith. As a brother or sister, we might say, I sure am glad that I don't do that. But any one of us could do that. Any one of us could become depressed. Any one of us could become discouraged by the situations we find ourselves in, or what appears to be loss of hope. Because hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We should always have hope, no matter what the situation. We don't necessarily lose our faith, but we forget our faith sometimes. And when we forget to the point that we could become depressed, we could become angry, we could feel guilty, or we could even get discouraged. And if you see that going on in your life, realize that that is a symptom of post-traumatic stress disorder. Wow. Christians with battlefield ailments? Yes. Because we are in a battle. We are in a battle with Satan. We could become angry because of limitations that we have not had to face before. We've always been in control. At least we thought we were. For a long time, I thought I ran our home. But somebody else really runs it. Not really, jointly. But there are times when we suddenly realize that we are not in control, that God is. And God wants us to let him be in control. God wants us to let him lead us. And it may change the entire direction of your life as to where he takes you and what he does with you. And folks, if you are in the middle of God's will, You are in the perfect place to be. It can't get any better. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life if you are where God wants you to be. Doing what he wants you to do, of course. I find that as I talk with Christians, as I counsel with folks, that there seems to be more and more guilt building up in the life of the average Christian. And I don't understand this because it's so hard for them to get rid of it. Without realizing it, we're adding more and more to moral stress. And it may even be getting to a point where it becomes moral injury. Did you know that this kind of life begins to affect your physical health? People that are filled with joy are healthier. They don't have as many ailments. People who are in the middle of God's will, does that mean they don't get sick? No, that's not at all what it means. But it means they have joy in their heart no matter what's going on. They can get by. Medical research has just recently discovered that spirituality plays a vital part in people's getting well, in the healing of a patient. And I actually saw that when Connie was in the hospital for the second time. I shared with you there was a lady down the hall, had been there for 5 months. She very rarely had anybody come to visit her. She was just constantly bugging the nurses. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to talk with her. And every time I'd go to see Connie, I'd go by her room and wave. And she was in quarantine. And so if I went in, I had to robe up and put gloves on and a mask. But I spent a little bit of time with her, reminding her she was saved. But she hadn't been to church in 40-some years. And I reminded her that Jesus still loved her, that he wanted her to be close to him. He wanted her involved in life. I didn't know why she was there, but that's where he had put her to get her attention. And you know, the last time Connie was in the hospital, I went back and that lady had gone home. And she had no hope of going home prior to that. But just someone reminding her that Jesus still cared, no matter what she was going through, encouraged her enough that she began to get well and was able to go home. The person that has a well-founded spiritual life will not suffer as many illnesses, nor will they be sick for as long as someone who has no spiritual life, no spiritual connections. That means that we must not forget that God made us triune, like himself, body, soul, and spirit. And we need to make sure that our spirit is well taken care of. And PTSD attacks the soul, attacks the spirit. And so we need to be aware of the fact that we don't want to suffer that. So what's the solution to moral stress in our lives and the lives of soldiers returning from the battlefield? It's the same thing in both cases. The moral and spiritual foundation must be rebuilt. Many people flee from the solution, thinking that the solution is going to add to their pain. Many people flee from the church, thinking that it's not real. The solution is Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Moral stress is caused by not having the ability to fully trust in something that can be the authority figure in a person's life. When there are contradictions that challenge the foundation of what has been stable for building life upon, moral stress is the result. It all goes back to faith in God, or faith in what we have been taught by a secular world. What is your faith really placed in? If in God, is he real to you? Or is he just an imaginary someone who really isn't there? And you're going to ask, should I be asking you that kind of a question? And the answer is, yes, I should. Because you have to decide if it is real. I can't decide it for you. You have to be the one to know it's real. In Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, 6, it says that, well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently serve him. Or diligently seek him, I'm sorry. God must be real, not only in the mind of the believer, but in the very soul or heart of the one building their life upon God. There are those people who say they believe, but when challenges or obstacles come into their life, they waver. Their faith falters. And they leave the security of God's word and will and seek solutions in the world that don't involve God's principles, his strength, or his provision. In other words, they turn away from God. They turn away from God as a source of stability, and they look for stability where there is none. Why would they do that? It's because they are not fully convinced that God is real and able to take care of them. You say, well, Brother Ken, that's not me you're talking about. Let me ask you a question. Can God meet every need that you have right now? Another question, will he meet every need that you have right now? There are those who don't know. There are those who don't have the faith that God is who he says he is. That God is able to do what he says he can do. What we know in our minds, but we don't necessarily know it in our hearts. When you have a great financial need, do you go to God or do you go to the bank? God is able. But there are people all over this area that when they have a financial need, instead of going to the Lord and presenting it to him and asking him to meet that need, they go to the bank and borrow money. And that's not the way to fix things. They don't have the faith that God is able or that he will. And yet over and over he shows us that he is able. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, we're told by Solomon that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. When we don't trust with all our heart, we experience moral stress. Even moral injury, which can cripple our spiritual life and cause us to be a spiritual victim of the world and even a spiritual cripple. That's what happens when a child goes off to school or out into the world without a firm foundation in the things and beliefs of God. That is why so many young people leave the church when they go away to college, and we think they lost their faith. And in many cases, they didn't have a faith to begin with. Remember that if we're going to do business with God, we have to believe that He is. That means that we believe He exists and that He's going to respond to our situation, to our need, and He's going to meet that need His way, not necessarily our way. I see our Heavenly Father working in the lives of His children so much that I just can't doubt Him. And if you look around, you will see that same thing going on in the lives of the people around you. You will see God working in their life. Now, they may not like the way He's doing things, but He's God. He's sovereign. He knows the best way to accomplish something. And so we have to trust Him. We have to let Him do the work. We have to let Him be the one who resolves the situation. All our life, we've been figuring things out for ourselves, and suddenly, when we get to this point, we are not able to do that. And that can cause us some serious stress. How can we depend upon a God whom we only need occasionally? A lot of people don't get around to God until they have a need. A God that we don't walk by faith with. Verse 9 of chapter 3 in Proverbs tells us that we are supposed to be giving Him all of our first fruits and our substance, and then when the time comes that we need something from Him, He will provide it. Many of us think to ourselves, well, I haven't been faithful, so can I expect God to be faithful to me? Folks, He is always faithful. He is always faithful, even when we're not. Why should we trust Him and not lean to our own understanding? Today, people are stressing out all over society and within the society we're in because they are not obeying all of God's Word. They're not letting Him direct their paths. What needs to happen to fix some of these things? Let's start by looking at the first part of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, what do you do with that? Do you ignore it? Or do we obey the command and watch God change our lives? The choice is yours. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for all that You're doing in each of our lives. Thank You for what You are doing in the life of this ministry, for the way that You are using the various folks that You have brought together here. And Father, we ask that You will strengthen our faith, that You will use us to bring glory to yourself and to accomplish your purpose in life. Thank you for each brother and sister who are here tonight. We ask that you will use them to fulfill your ministry here in this community, and that Jesus will be lifted up, that your will be done in each life, that we might all return rejoicing in what you are doing through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.